Are you ready, Alabama? It's time to enter the doghouse.
You need to be more like a dog.
Ruff! Silence! Quiet!
All my boys, stand up!
We don't need a bunch of cats in here.
Yeah.
Call 866-485-9867 to get your bark on.
Hello?
Hello?
Are you a dog?
Yes!
I am also a dog.
All right!
Yeah!
We're dogs!
Yeah, we're dogs.
We're dogs that live near each other.
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios, it's the Tom Abraham Show.
Okay, folks, the guy in front of you is Tommy. He'll be taking you through my little spiel here.
Here he is, the head of the household, the Big Dog. Here's Tom Abraham.
We strong!
You all may be taking the week off, this week, but I'm not.
Hey, welcome in, everybody, to the Football Friday edition, the very truncated edition of the Tom Abraham Show. I'm not Tom Abraham, but I am Tony Mack, the producer of the show and today's host. And if you're not okay with that, it's all right. You only have to deal with me for 2 hours. We're out of here at 4 o'clock today. Bama baseball doubleheader due to weather threats tomorrow. So that game got pushed to today. So we got a Bama baseball doubleheader. But before you get into Bama baseball, you get me. You get sports talk. You get other great things going on. And my goodness, last night did not cut us short of any of that. And we're going to get to that here in just a few minutes. We're going to get to the phone lines. But first, I'm going to tell you what we got coming on today. It's got a pretty good day. For 2 hours, it's a pretty good show. It is Football Friday, so I'm honoring that. I'm honoring that Football Friday with football. What else? I mean, 225 today. We got Anthony Dasher coming up after this segment. Georgia sports. We're going to talk a little Georgia spring football. Their spring game is tomorrow. Their G-Day game, I believe is what they call it, is tomorrow. They will be doing a red and black. They're not just called the black team. They're not wearing white. They're wearing black jerseys this year, and it'll be first team offense against first team defense, second team offense against second team defense, and so on and so forth. So we'll get into that with Anthony at the top of the hour, 3 o'clock. Sean Mraz, CBS, will be joining us. We're going to get out of the college game for a minute, and we're going to go to the NFL because last night the NFL schedule was released for the entire season. Well, I say last night, but it pretty much got leaked. The big storylines of the NFL schedule got leaked well before last night. But we got the full schedule of every team, every game coming. I believe, except for the last Monday Night Football game, that one I did see when I looked was to be determined. But all the other games, almost 300 of them. We'll get into that. We'll get into our best and worst games in primetime. And then, before we leave the show, before I get out of here and throw it to Bama baseball, we got to go over to Josh Ward, SEC insider. Because I can't leave on a Football Friday with just talking Georgia football. There's nothing wrong with talking Georgia football. I mean, heck of a recruiting class. It's going to be good stuff. But we still got the Bama spring game tomorrow. The LSU spring game's tomorrow. The Tennessee spring game is tomorrow. I need to talk to Josh and see if tomorrow during the Tennessee spring game is finally the day they wheel out the Champions of Life rings for the Volunteers. So we got to talk about that. We got to talk everything going on this weekend that revolves football. And certainly, we will. But before we do that, before we get into all that, I just promised you plenty of Football Friday. Plenty of football on a Football Friday. But there were a lot of great record-breaking performances last night in two different sports. A lot of big news coming out of the NBA. And we got to get to all of that. And that's coming up here in just a second. But first, I'm going to go to the phone line. We got Wolverine Dan on the line, and I know he's just dying to get in here to talk. He calls every day before the show starts to talk to me and then to talk to the big dog. So he loves to get on the show and talk. So I'm going to honor him and let him have a couple minutes on here. Love Wolverine Dan. Wolverine Dan, what's going on, buddy?
Oh, not much, my friend. Doing a good job so far. Excited about the rest of the show. I think you're going to be just fine, my man. It sounds like you've been doing it for a while.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Well, you always called. The past few weeks, you've called to talk NHL before we go on the show. So why don't we just jump into some of that? You already talked to me about the Preds closing it out and how no one expected the Predators to sweep the Blackhawks, Preds being the 8 seed, the Blackhawks being the 1 seed in the Western Conference. Now, I'm new to hockey. You've been a Detroit Red Wing fan forever. I'm new to hockey, so I can't look ahead and break down a matchup coming up. I can only react to what I saw. So being someone who's watched hockey for so long, how shocking was that to see the 8 seed not only win in 4 games, but control that entire series? They outscored them 13-3. In 4 games. The Blackhawks looked like the 8 seed in the series. How surprising was that for someone who's watched hockey as long as you have?
Well, that wasn't surprising. I'll explain in a minute. I mean, it's surprising. It's happened before, and I'll tell you how. But before I do that, write a little mental note on a piece of paper or something. If you get a chance sometime during the show, rattle off the Detroit Lions schedule, if you don't mind, what days they play and who they play and what time.
I absolutely will. I'll definitely do that for you.
Okay, now, the last team that did this, if I'm not mistaken, was Los Angeles Kings. They were an 8 seed. They did the same thing. So it has been done. And that's as what I can recall. But further, even back than that, I can't recall, but I'm sure there's been other teams that have done it. Now, was it impressive? Of course it was. You know, you're playing against a number one seed Blackhawks, the general manager, Scotty Bowman. You know, I mean, we're talking the real deal. I mean, a traditional hockey powerhouse right now these past several years. Now, see, part of this is you got Pecorini, and, you know, he's really hot in between the pipes. When you got a hot goalie, everything else starts to fall into place, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're not getting scored on, and you're holding up to what, 3 points in what, 4 games?
Right.
So that's a pretty good goal percentage thing. And then all of a sudden the offense, you know, starts clicking, which you're starting to put the net, a puck in the net. You put the two together, that's going to be a heck of a series that with St. Louis, because see what St. Louis is going to do, as I mentioned to you. St. Louis has got a pretty good, very large team size-wise, and they're very physical. So mm-hmm. that physicality might offset some of that goal scoring for the Predators, but you still have to, as a opposite team, which would be St. Louis playing, probably St. Louis playing the Predators, you got to put the puck in the net.
Yeah.
And if you got a hot goalie like that and gave up only 3 goals in 4 games, that's a pretty good goal percentage. That indicates to me, number one, he's rested. Number two, he's on his game. So
absolutely.
You know, it's going to be a tall task for St. Louis, don't you say?
Oh, absolutely. What it shows to me as a guy with minimal hockey experience and knowledge is that, well, number one, you go on the road first 2 games and not only win on the road in those first 2 games, but you shut out the number one seed in their home. You shut them out. That gives, in my mind, going back home for the Predators, and they jumped down. The Blackhawks jumped on top of them 2-0 in game 3 in Nashville. To me, that still didn't put pressure on the Preds offense. Tom mentioned several times that the Preds, even though they were down 2-0, were commanding that game. And I think that's in large part of they weren't stressed out. Even though they'd given up 2 goals, they know Pecorine isn't going to give up anymore. So they don't have to, that they can still kind of play their game. You know, they don't have to rush to do anything. And they didn't. They waited until the third period to get on the board and ended up winning that game. And I think you're exactly right. When you have a goalie as hot as Pecorine has been, you have all the confidence in the world going into the next series. You're sitting there thinking, okay, I mean, no matter what we do, we can take it to overtime if we need to, but we know this guy's got our back, so we got to play our game. We don't have to worry about what's going on behind us right now. This guy has us. So let's go out there and win it for him if we need to. And he has been sensational in this series. I mean, go ahead.
I talked to Charlie this morning, and the only sad thing that didn't materialize is a lot of the Predator prednecks, I should say, showed up at the rink with a bunch of brooms, right?
Yeah.
And they wouldn't let him in the rink with the brooms. I go,
what?
My God, are you serious?
Oh.
I mean, what do you expect? They're going to assault somebody with a broom?
I don't know. Maybe they were thinking they were going to throw him on the ice. I don't know, but come on, man. You got to have a broom for a sweep. Really? They wouldn't let him in there with brooms? Oh,
well, he
wow.
said that if the guys had brooms that could be broken down, meaning if they broken down, like they take the broom part off and put the handle outside. And I said, well, heck, well, why even bring one if you're going to make it break it down? But
yeah.
I thought that was kind of funny that the owner or the rink itself decided that.
From what I've gathered.
Anyway, yeah, I'm gonna let you slide, but yeah. Given that Lions schedule, I'm really interested to see how they're doing because I'm going to double down on them this year. I think I'm going to – last year was to win the conference, but I think this year I'm going to go with just the division and double down.
All right, well, thank you for the call, Wolverine Dan. I always appreciate it when you call.
All right, see you, bro.
See you, buddy. And if you just hang on right there, if you're staying on the radio station, I got it pulled up for you right here, so I'm going to jump into it right now. The Detroit Lions start off Sunday, August 13th. This is their preseason schedule. Oh, that's been out for a while. We don't have to do that. We're going to the regular season. Sunday, September 10th, first game of the season, they play Arizona at home, and then they're on the road the next week on a Monday night football game at New York. So 8 days rest, they play New York. Sunday, September 14th, they host the Falcons at home, and then they're back on the road the following Sunday at Minnesota to take on the Vikings, and then they come back home again to play the Carolina Panthers, and then they're on the road at New Orleans. So they go home, away, home, away, home, away before their first bye. And they get a bye on the 22nd, and then they're right back in it at home against the Pittsburgh Steelers on the 29th of October, and then another Monday night football game, November 6th, at Lambeau Field against the Green Bay Packers. And then they come back home for a Sunday afternoon game against the Cleveland Browns. And then they're back on the road the following week at the Chicago Bears. And then they're home again against Minnesota, at Baltimore, at Tampa Bay. And then they host Chicago, at Cincinnati, and then they host Green Bay for the final game of the regular season. So that's pretty decent schedule. Two Monday night games for Detroit. How do you like that? I mean, Green Bay obviously probably has some pull in that, but the New York Giants, I don't know. I don't necessarily know that the New York Giants are the main pull for that Monday night game, especially the way Stafford's been. So there you go, Wolverine Dan. There's your schedule. You're talking about doubling down. The Lions are up on the move. They're on the move. Stafford has proven a lot to me over the last few years. I was never the biggest fan of him. Never disliked the guy, but just wasn't the biggest fan. And then I thought once Calvin Johnson left, it was over. Megatron, you know, no chance. Stafford's going to double down on interceptions. But that didn't happen. They had Calvin Johnson sitting at home probably thinking, well, where the heck has this been? You know? But certainly some good things going on for the Lions. Speaking of good things going on and turning the right direction, I mentioned the Preds closed out the Blackhawks last night. It's the first ever sweep, ever, for the Predators in the NHL playoffs. They had never led a team 3-0, and they had never swept a series. And they did that last night. The Blackhawks hadn't been swept since 1993. Other firsts, the Predators shut them out. That was the first time the Blackhawks in a long time had been shut out at home. First time Predators ever had a road shutout win. And then they turned around and did it again in Chicago the next game. So the Predators aren't just winning. They're making a statement right now. Speaking of making a statement, did anybody watch that Cleveland-Indiana game all the way through? Anybody? Because I don't believe you if you say you did. If you tuned in to the second half about midway through the third quarter, I'll believe you because that's when I tuned in. I actually flipped over there for 2 seconds because the Cavs were coming back, and I missed the first goal of the Preds game. It really, really made me mad. But my goodness, there are two sides to this. Number one, it really, really sucks for the Pacers to blow a 26, if you didn't tune in, 26-point lead they had in that game, 25 points at halftime. And that was quickly squandered. The Cavs come back towards the end of the third quarter. I think they're down 3 or 4. And then the fourth quarter, LeBron took over. But here's the most embarrassing part if you're the Pacers. Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving didn't see the court unless it was during a timeout, during the entire fourth quarter. They didn't play a second in that fourth quarter. It was all LeBron James. And that's where the on the flip side comes. What a performance from LeBron James. He made history. The Cavs, first of all, made history being the first team ever to come back from a 25-point deficit at halftime. The history didn't stop there for LeBron. He passed Kobe Bryant, number one, for playoff threes. He's not number one. I think four on the list. I'm not sure. But he also passed him for third all-time in playoff scoring. So LeBron meant business last night. Now, this isn't new. LeBron has recently been turning it on big time in the playoffs and been taking over. But the embarrassing part was a couple years ago, LeBron was all Cleveland had because Kyrie was hurt and Kevin Love was hurt, and they lost the finals. I understand, Pacers. I understand you're 42-40. You're a 7 seed. But you got Paul George, and two of the three best players on the court for the Cavs aren't even in the game. And you're letting LeBron take over. If the floor's that spread out and you have to respect Kyrie and you have to respect Kevin Love and you're giving LeBron up giving LeBron this easy stuff, I think he had two dunks in a row at one point to just really put this thing into a tailspin for the Pacers. How can you not throw everything you have at LeBron when Kyrie and Kevin Love are on the bench? That was embarrassing for the Pacers, but that's not taking away at all. I'm not the biggest LeBron fan at all. He is one of the best talents we've ever seen in the NBA. I respect him for that. I often tend to think he's quite a bit of a drama queen and a baby. But my goodness, what he did last night shows that he doesn't need all that baby crap that he pulls. He is easily one of the best players that the NBA has ever seen. And I love watching LeBron in the playoffs. Regular season LeBron puts me to sleep. Playoff LeBron is fantastic. Even though I'm always pulling against him, I just sit there and I'm in awe. I love it. Also last night, the Grizzlies proved that they were not going to be rooked. Not at all. They bounced back with a home win, a 105-94 win over the Spurs. And this was all, they willed themselves to this victory. They controlled most of that game, especially in the second half. But the Spurs were right there statistically, out-rebounded the Grizzlies big time. But as far as shooting goes, and they all took around the same shots, Spurs were right there in shooting percentage with them. Grizzlies just wanted that win more. Statistically, this looks like it was a lot closer than what it was. The Grizzlies controlled this game big time. Zebo, Gasol, and Conley combined for 86 points, all scoring at least 21. Zebo and Gasol, I believe, had 21. Conley had 24. Putting Zach Randolph back into the starting lineup at home, game one at home, after what happened, after the team rallies behind Fizdale to pay his fine, after his take that for data rant, was a genius move. Genius move to put Zebo back in the starting lineup. All right, on the other side, Bucks-Raptors. Wow. Bucks kind of proved, I mentioned yesterday, right before the show was over, that I would flip over to that game because I think the Bucks can make a statement in this series. I think they're going to win it now. They won 104-77 at home, their first game at home. They still won on the road. So they have a chance to win and go up 3-1 their next game because it is in Milwaukee. Greek Freak is easily, not maybe not easy, arguably, arguably the second best player in the East, next to John Wall. Most, as far as talent goes and athleticism, straight up athleticism, he is hands down the second best in the East. They didn't need him in this game. It was Chris Middleton, Malcolm Brogdon, I guess, did okay, but those are the keys to moving forward. You can have a superstar. That's step one in succeeding in the playoffs, having a superstar, in which Giannis Antetokounmpo absolutely is that. And yes, that is how you pronounce his name. I watched videos on videos of him pronouncing his own name. It is Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek Freak. That's step one. But to have the supporting cast, which is a very long supporting cast, if you ask me, their wingspans are huge. Go look that up. That supporting cast is playing well for them, and I think that's going to play well enough for the upset. And they're going to move on to the second round, and they might make a couple waves in the next round, depending on who they play. And finally, before we get out of here, for our break, the Celtics. and the Bulls. They go into Chicago. Celtics down 2-0. 2-0 to take on the Bulls. I'm feeling pretty. I've got my Celtic gear on. I got my hat on, my Isaiah Thomas shirt on. And I even told my roommate after that loss, I think the Bulls are going to win game three. The Celtics are going to win game three. Now, I definitely think they're going to win game three because Rajon Rondo is out indefinitely with a broken thumb. The Celtics might have a chance to get back in this series. Rajon Rondo is out at least. He will be reevaluated in 7 to 10 days. He's at least out probably the rest of this series unless it goes, what? He might be get back for game seven, maybe, depending on how that reevaluation goes. Jerry and Grant's going to start in his place. A lot of you might be saying, oh, it's LeBron, or it's Rondo. What does that matter? In this series, he's averaged 11.5 points and 10 assists. I argue that he still has the best vision in the NBA, at least top three. The man knows how to play the game. So watch out for the Celtics tonight in Chicago. Now, going to Twitter, Michael Blackburn, I want to reiterate what I said. I think that alongside of John Wall, I think Giannis is the second best in the East. Obviously, that goes to LeBron. He's second tied with John Wall as far as what they're doing. As far as athleticism and how much of an athlete, raw talent they have, I did not forget Kyrie and Kevin Love in the East. Giannis would put both of them to shame in one-on-one. I'm sorry, that's just how it is. They don't call him the Greek Freak for a reason. I know Kevin Love had that one season in Minnesota where he was unguardable. You couldn't stop him. Giannis hasn't beat. Giannis has Kyrie beat. I'm sorry. Not taking away. I still think Kyrie Irving will be a force for years to come. I know a lot of people don't like the Hall of Fame pace, or he's on pace to do so-and-so. I think Kyrie Irving is easily a Hall of Fame pace guy. Oh, easily. But I don't think there's, without a question, other than John Wall, it's LeBron, Giannis, and then Wall right there with Giannis Antetokounmpo as far as most talented and best raw talent and athleticism in the East. That's just my opinion. All right, that's enough, I guess, hockey, basketball. I threw all of that at you. It is Football Friday, so we're going to take a break. And when we get back, we're going to jump into some of that football. We got Anthony Dasher of UGA Sports coming up to talk some Georgia Spring football. And all that's coming up next right here on 730 and 1039
The Ump. WUMP Sports Radio. The Ump.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports, and it's brought to you by Everwood Treatment, the official treated lumber of Alabama athletics. Everwood, wood treated right. Hello, everybody. I'm Chris Stewart. The Alabama Crimson Tide went to Starkville, Mississippi last night. Unfortunately, despite an early lead, the Tide would fall. 6-5 was your final. State gets the victory to improve their season record to 26-14, now 11-5 in SEC play. With a loss, the Tide drops to 2-14 in the conference, 15-23 overall on the year. Chandler Taylor had a home run for Alabama early. Again, not enough as the Dogs claim a 6-5 win. Game two of the series is set for Friday. And in fact, the Tide of the Dogs will play two games. On Friday, we'll have radio coverage on the network starting at 3:55. Game two will start 30 minutes after the completion of the first. I'll have more in a moment.
All types of treated wood are not created equal. That's why when you're choosing the lumber for your next outdoor deck or project, choose Everwood Treatment for wood treated right. As seasons begin to change and spring and summer around the corner, take your imagination outside again with your next backyard experience built by Everwood. As the official treated lumber of Alabama Athletics, Everwood knows the importance of building a championship product. That's why regardless of weather or seasons to come, you can trust Everwood every time. To find your nearest distributor, visit EverwoodTreatment.com for the location nearest you. Everwood Treatment. Wood treated right.
Alabama softball has a two-game weekend series against the Washington Huskies. It gets underway tonight at Rhodes Stadium. Their second game set to get underway at 4:30 on Saturday. That, of course, is after the Golden Flake 8A game, which will start at 2 o'clock at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Radio coverage on the network starts at 1:30. That's your Bama Update. Crimson Tide Today, brought to you by Everwood, is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network.
All right, Braves fans, it's time to chop on, because your next chance to hear Atlanta Braves baseball will be on Saturday, right here on the UMP. The Braves take their show back on the road, this time into Philadelphia, to start a three-game series with the Phillies. Things didn't start out so hot on the road for the Braves this year, only going 2-6, but since then turned things around, winning 5 in a row, including 4 at home. So there's still plenty to cheer about for your Atlanta Braves, and that all starts right here on the UMP at 6:20 p.m.
Good times with your family last a lifetime with the help of Madison RV Supercenter. Are you ready to hit the open road in your own RV, fifth wheel, or travel trailer? Or do you need a toy hauler? With hundreds to choose from and a huge variety of brands and price ranges, Madison RV Supercenter has what you need. Madison RV Supercenter has the best, most experienced sales and service team in Alabama and are ready to meet your RV needs better than anyone. Visit us today and experience the difference Madison RV Supercenter can make.
A fundraiser plant sale by Morgan County Master Gardeners Association will be held Saturday, April 29th, 8 to 4, and Sunday, April 30th, from 1 to 4 at the Morgan County Fairgrounds. There will be unusual plants, houseplants, succulents, annuals, perennials, vegetables, herbs, wildflowers, and mixed containers. Vendors will be there with specialty plants, items for the home, and yard art. The Morgan County Master Gardeners Association is a nonprofit organization, part of a volunteer program under the umbrella of the Alabama Cooperative Extension System. They help to expand the Alabama Cooperative Extension System's outreach program. The fundraiser plant sale by Morgan County Master Gardeners Association. Cash and check only. Saturday, April 29th from 8 to 4, and Sunday, April 30th from 1 to 4 at the Morgan County Fairgrounds, 2919 Fairground Road, Decatur.
The most dangerous day for a baby is the first day of life. Babies born in poverty zones are dying from infections, pneumonia, malnutrition, but they don't have to die. For nearly 60 years, Project Hope has been working around the world, training local healthcare workers, delivering medicines and medical supplies, giving newborns the healthy start they need to survive and thrive. Make sure her first day of life is not her last. To volunteer or learn more about Project Hope, visit projecthope.org.
Are you at risk for whooping cough? Pertussis, also known as whooping cough, is an extremely contagious respiratory illness that can cause a violent cough lasting up to 10 weeks. Pertussis is spread through the air when an infected person breathes, coughs, or sneezes. Over 48,000 cases of pertussis have been diagnosed in the United States, the highest number of cases since 1955. And even though you may have gotten the DPT shot when you were a child, over time your immunity to pertussis declines, leaving you and those around you at risk. Even if you've received a tetanus shot in the past, there's a high likelihood it did not contain pertussis protection. Receiving the tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis vaccine will not only protect you, but also prevent you from spreading the disease to others, especially to young children for whom whooping cough can be fatal. To find out more about the tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis vaccine, be sure to talk to your pharmacist or doctor today.
She's kind of a big deal. Some people like to say it's only because of how she looks. She sticks her tongue out a lot. But there's just something about her that makes people do crazy things. Like get tattoos of her face, or wait in line for hours just to say hi. Lil Bub is a 2-year-old cat, an Instagram celebrity with a following bigger than some 90s television stars. And it all started because she was adopted. You can't buy a best friend like Lil Bub, but you can adopt one. Help us save them all at bestfriends.org.
Weather is sponsored by Troy University. Wednesday, April 26th, Troy University Online is holding a virtual open house. Application fees are being waived during this event. Register today at troy.edu/open house. That's troy.edu/open house.
A warm day with a mixture of clouds and sunshine. A few scattered storms are possible this afternoon or this evening. Those storms will likely be strong where they form. The high today, 84. Tonight's low, 62. Tomorrow, some sunshine during the morning. More strong storms by mid to late afternoon. The high at 79. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The UMP.
No time to get on the phone? Tweet the big dog at Tom Abraham Show.
Here's Tom Abraham.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Tom Abraham Show. Obviously not Tom Abraham, but I am Tony Mack, the fill-in host today. Also Tom's producer, so listeners are aware. They understand. They know what it is. So we went to break talking NBA, NHL, getting all that stuff out of the way. Because it is Football Friday. And there's plenty of football coming up this weekend. I mean, we got plenty of football news, period, out there. We got the new NFL schedules just came out yesterday. We've got Tennessee spring game, LSU spring game, Alabama spring game. We also have the Georgia Bulldogs. And they'll be taking the field in their G-Day game, I believe is what they call it. And I think they're also going to be red versus black in all seriousness. They're not just the black team. They will be wearing black jerseys, I believe. And I could be wrong on some of this stuff. That's why I brought in Anthony Dasher. He's here to clear up all of that. He is from UGA Sports, coming in here to help me break down the Georgia spring game and what we'll see. Anthony, welcome in, buddy. How you doing? Anthony, do we have you? I'm sorry, buddy. How's it going?
Yeah, it's going well. No, sorry. I thought you heard me there.
Oh, it's all right. It's all good. It was my fault there. I forgot to press your button. How's it going, man?
Going good.
But that's correct, right? I mean, it's the black versus red. It'll be first team offense against first team defense and so on and so forth, correct?
That is correct. Although you talk about the red versus black team, it should be the red versus white team because of the second team is going to be wearing the white jerseys.
Okay.
So I'm not really sure why they want to call it red and black, but that's something they've done, gosh, as long as I've been covering Georgia.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of weird things in sports, you know. I mean, you got Alabama and the Elephants, but they're the Crimson Tide. We could talk about that all day long. So it's not the craziest thing we've heard.
No.
But, okay, so answer something for me here. You know, Jacob Eason did a pretty good job last year. But since then, you know, we got Home of the Cube show here, Cole Cube. Like, I've heard him actually discuss Jacob Eason and saying that Cole's opinion doesn't think Eason really has the heart for the game as a lot of other quarterbacks do. Does that open up the competition with Jake Fromm? How serious is that competition going into that spring game?
Let me put it this way. There is competition, but I don't think it's competition to be the starting quarterback. What Jake Fromm does, he brings like a different mindset. He's one of these guys who likes to be in the film room. He's going to be in the weight room. In his spare time, he's going to be doing something to get ready. That was not what Jacob Eason was last year. I think that's kind of where some of Cole's comments may have came from on that, just that mental attitude that I think you obviously have to have as a quarterback to really be successful. That being said, now, Jake Fromm, because he's like that, it has pushed Jacob Eason, I think, to become a lot better. And Kirby Smart, you know, all through, you know, spring camp, while he's admitting he's still thinking that Jacob Eason needs to get better at, he's been thrilled with the way he's carried himself in the film room, off the field, in practice. He's been performing much better than he was at the end of last year. So Jake Fromm, from that aspect, I think it's had a great effect. But the question everybody wants to know, can Jake Fromm overtake Jacob Eason? No, I don't think that's going to happen, not based on the way that Jacob Eason has played so far this spring.
Wow, it sounds like Jake Fromm's the best thing to happen to Eason.
Yeah, I mean, I really think he's in a lot of respect, again, because he's pushing. Yeah. Jake is a guy, again, who has his teammates gravitate toward if they see what he does off the field to get ready. And that's something very attractive to really all the players he's ever had. You know, even going back to high school, his teammates were like that there. Now that he's at Georgia, the Bulldogs are kind of gravitating to him the same way.
Going into the spring game last year, I don't think anybody expected the crowd that Georgia got. It was huge. What, 93,000? Something crazy like that, right?
Right, right.
Yeah,
they really publicized it last year, but this year they're not doing that.
Right. Well, I was going to ask, even though Georgia, went 8-5 and 4-4 in the conference, with that recruiting class coming in and a little more excitement being added to Georgia and how wide open the East is, do you expect to see a crowd like that tomorrow?
Not quite that big. I mean, I expect to see maybe 60 or 70,000, but 93,000, I don't think so. I mean, last year, like I said, I mean, Coach Smart, you know, really made a big point to pack Sanford Stadium. This year, there has not been that. I mean, Coach Kirby has obviously come out and said he wants everybody to show up, but it has not been the campaign, I guess, that it was last year. I think for a lot of the reason for wanting fans to come out and predicting 93 not have to happen. So I think they're kind of backed it down a little bit just in case that means they don't show up.
Oh, well, we got Nick Chubb, Sony Michel, and apparently a re-energized Jacob Eason. With all of that coming back, what other positions need to step up to improve on that 4-4 conference record from last year?
Well, it starts with the offensive line. I mean, George has to replace three players from the line last year, which, granted, was not that good. I mean, they had some hold very inconsistent. So far this spring, they seem to have done a better job. They plugged some guys in, and they get a lot of movement, according to Coach Smart. Again, we don't get to actually see it for ourselves, so we'll be witnessing everything at the same time with fans tomorrow. But from what we've been told, the line has been much better. So that's going to be key number one. Key number two is find some playmakers at wide receiver. Again, that big-time playmaker on the perimeter, something Georgia did not have last year. And there's still a question or not if they have that this season. You know, Kerry Godwin has moved into the slot. Isaiah McKenzie's spot from last year, so he'll need to step up there. But they're still looking for somebody who can stretch the field. And right now, that's a kind of a question mark they really still need to answer.
Well, yeah, I mean, you mentioned the offensive line needs improvement. If it gets improvement, I mean, hey, you had two running backs who combined for almost 2,000 yards last year. So, I mean, with that production, if you get that production again and Jacob Eason, Georgia can make some noise. I mean, was it just a lot of inconsistencies? I mean, they did have losses like to Vanderbilt at Georgia's homecoming.
Yeah, I mean, that was a lot of lecture. I mean, the offensive line, it combined its inconsistencies, like, you know, a true freshman quarterback. I mean, it's awful hard, as you know, in this conference for any true freshman to come in to any position and really exceed, especially at QB. And Jacob, again, I thought he had a pretty decent year, but I think the fact he was a five-star guy, mm-hmm. I think people's expectations were maybe a little bit beyond what they would have been otherwise for him. But, you're older, you know, you're more experienced. We'll see. I know they feel very good about what they've got right now.
Yeah, well, okay, well, Georgia is a team in the past couple of years. They've done a really good job at non-conference schedules, at least getting one good game in there. They had Clemson a few years ago, North Carolina last year, and they go on the road, I think, to Notre Dame this year.
That is correct.
Well, that's a tough game. That's just a tough environment to even think about playing. Is with the thought of that game in there, does that play a positive role at all at getting guys ready to compete every time they step the field, even in spring ball? I mean, is that going through their heads?
I think so. I mean, obviously you talk to players, they'll say one thing they're thinking about is Appalachian State, which they should be thinking about.
Yeah.
Based on what Appy Pout did to Tennessee last year in overtime. So, but yeah, I think there's no question. Notre Dame game has created a lot of buzz. It has ever since that game was announced 3 years ago. And like you said, second game of the year, going up to South Bend for the first time ever. It's going to be a lot of excitement, no doubt about it. It's going to be curious to see what happens with that. And that could be one of those statement-type games that could carry on to make perhaps further success in conference play.
Yeah, I mean, well, it might be a little deflating for Notre Dame. According to himself, they are without the greatest quarterback to ever grace this earth in DeShone Kizer. So it might help Georgia out a little. But, okay, well, you got Notre Dame, Auburn, and Georgia Tech all on the road this year, the loss to Georgia Tech late in the season. Tricky Mississippi State team early in Athens, a place that Georgia kind of did struggle last year. They went 3-3 at home last year.
Right.
How do you feel about if with that schedule the way it is, if there's another 8-5, is it like an 8-5 feeling, or are you feeling maybe a 9 or 10 win season coming on this year?
Sitting here today, I'm thinking 9 wins.
Mm-hmm.
A lot's going to depend on what happens in fall camp. I may bump it up, bump it down. We'll see. But I think just based on the experience Georgia has coming back, and especially on the defensive side, where they've only lose Maurice Smith at the star position.
Yeah.
It's, on paper, it looks to be a pretty, you know, pretty decent team. But we'll have to see. I mean, going to Knoxville, even though they'll have to be replacing, you know, their own quarterback from last season.
Right.
Will be a tough game. But, you know, Georgia has a chance. It just depends if they can come out and win some of these bigger games. The Tennessee game, the Florida game Florida's been a nemesis for Georgia for 20-something years now. So that's
right.
Another one. They've got to find a way to get past it. If you can, then we'll see.
See, I'm feeling 9, maybe 10 wins as well. I mean, you know, Auburn with the possibility of having a pretty good quarterback now, and always that Florida game is a toss-up. But other than those games, I'm feeling pretty good if Georgia can work out some of those inconsistencies, because they've got a great running core coming back and a pretty darn good, like you mentioned, a re-energized quarterback. So I'm feeling pretty good about it as well. But if they do go 8-5 or possibly worse, does Kirby's seat get a little warm?
It may be a little bit, but I think he's going to get at least 4 years to figure things out. He's got a 5-year contract right now, and Greg McGarry, the AD, is not known for being one for having a quick trigger on any of his coaches. I mean, there are a lot of folks who thought Mark Fox might be in trouble last year, and the baseball coach, Scott Strickland, is looking at his fourth straight sub-500 season. I don't think he's going to get fired. So Curry would have a lot of leeway, I think, if they went like 8-5.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you are as well, but I'm excited to see what he does with his incoming recruits. I mean, he has a great recruiting class that he got. I mean, he did get to come in and inherit Sonny Michel and Nick Chubb, and, you know, Jacob Eason's there now. But what have you seen from this recruiting class? Are any of them early? How many early enrollees have there been? And if
well,
if
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, they got six early enrollees right now. I mean, one, you know, three of them, I think, are going to play extensively for Georgia next year. Jeremiah Holloman, wide receiver, and two defensive backs. So D'Angelo Gibbs, who obviously Alabama's really hot after, and Richard LeCount, I think, will have a chance to, if not start, to see a lot of playing time. But you talked about the recruiting class, and we talked about the offensive line earlier. He's got five more kids coming in. They're all, you know, four-star or higher, or ranked higher guys, and all five of them are over 315 pounds. So he's got some major bulk coming out there. Wilson, kid from New York, 6'6", 350 pounds, could wind up being the starting right tackle for Georgia. That will give him a lot more bigger than what we saw last year. Andrew Thomas, a true freshman, could work his way to the left tackle spot. The Torrey Johnson, who was once committed to Alabama, could wind up being a starter at right guard. So they finally got their offensive line and, you know, situation kind of squared away, because that's been a position Georgia's really had trouble recruiting, you know, really over the past 5 or 6 years.
Well, with, you know, like you just mentioned, a recruiting class like that, it's kind of hard to be mad at Kirby. You can't help but give him some time to work that out. I mean, he already come in. Yeah. He brought you in a 93,000 people crowd for a spring game. Turns around, maybe a little disappointing season. People didn't want to see Georgia go 8-5, obviously, but then he turns around and fires right back with this recruiting class. So a lot of positives and upside for Kirby Smart at Georgia.
I think it is. Like you said, the recruiting class itself is ranked number three by rivals this past year. It was one of the deepest ones I can remember. And I've covered Georgia now for 20 years. This is probably one of the top two or three that's been there in my time covering this team. So they're on the right track from that standpoint. Now it's a matter of seeing if Curtis Smart and his staff can coach above and get the Georgia program where their fans, you know, awfully want it to be.
Well, I'm looking forward to going down that little path with you this year. Anthony Dasher, Georgia, UGA Sports, I apologize.
That's all right.
We thank you, man. Thank you for coming on. Definitely looking forward later in the football season. We'll have you come back on and talk some more Georgia football.
Okay, we'll do it.
I appreciate it, man. Have a great day, buddy.
Yep.
Anthony Dasher, that was a lot of fun, guys. Not going to lie to you. It was my first interview on the Tom Abraham Show. That was great. Booked a pretty good guy. That was a good guy right there. You can always judge by when you call him. Now, I understand not everybody wants to be overly friendly on the phone before you go on the radio show, but he was one of those guys who was willing to jump into a conversation before I even put him over the air. So I'm a people person. I love talking. I love talking sports mainly. I mean, I got into the right business. I can talk all day long. I can talk about whatever you want me to talk about. I might not know anything about it, but I'll talk about it. Well, that was a good start right there. Anthony Dasher, UGASports.com. All right, we're going to grab a quick break. We're going to come back last segment before the end of the hour. Get you set up for the top of the three, the last hour of the show. And then let me tell you, it's a pretty good packed hour. We're going to have open lines coming up next, 866-485-9867. But after that, top of the three, Sean Mraz, CBS. He is DA's, if you guys ever listen to DA. He's on a new time slot now, obviously, but he is DA's producer, and he's a big NFL guy. So he's going to come on and talk NFL schedules with me. We're going to break that down. That's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of good games to look forward to, especially just on paper games. And then Josh Ward, SEC Insider, coming up later in that hour to break down the rest of the SEC spring games and maybe talk a little Lane Kiffin, maybe talk a little Cyrus Kwanjo, some Reuben Foster. We're going to get into all of that. But that's going to come up after this break. We got to go to a quick break. Sorry about that, guys. We'll be back here in just a few minutes. And we'll be back here in just a few seconds. All right. I'm going to try to get back quick because there's a lot I want to talk about. But we got to go to commercial. That's all right here on the Tom Abraham Show on 730-1039. The Ump.
730 and 1039. The Ump. More sports.
This is Jim Rome with the CBS Sports Minute, brought to you by the National Association of Realtors. Down 25 at halftime, the Cavaliers come all the way back and they punk Indiana in their house, 119-114. The obvious question, of course, biggest choke job ever or best comeback in NBA playoff history? And the answer is Yes. A comeback like that does not happen unless the other guy goes right into the tank and chokes out. And the Pacers did. So that's not just a case of Cleveland ripping it from them as opposed to Indiana giving it to them. It's actually both. Cleveland only gets credit for ripping it if Indiana shows up and plays huge. But they didn't. Well, for a half they did. And then instead of coming out in the second half and choking them out when they had to, they got soft, they panicked, they melted down, and they suffered easily the worst loss in Pacer history. Good luck ever shaking that tank job. I'm Jim Rome.
You can learn to DIY just about anything.
Today, we'll be making our very own bath beads. We'll need mineral oil, ammonia, and gosh, I feel like I'm forgetting something.
After all, some things are better left to the pros, like buying a home. Because without an expert to guide you, you're just asking to get burned.
Oh, look at that. It also works as a hair remover.
So DIY yourself a favor and get Realtor. Head to Realtor.com/getrealtor today. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Attention Yards of America, now you have a holiday too. Toro Days at the Home Depot, with the lowest prices of the season on their latest zero-turn and self-propelled mowers, like a 22-inch variable-speed gas mower for just $274. You save $45. It's the next generation of outdoor power from Toro, and it's one happy holiday for your yard. Get a fresh take on spring and the lowest prices of the season during Toro Days at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Offers valid April 20th through May 3rd.
All right, Tide fans, listen up, because your next chance to hear Alabama baseball will be Thursday as the Tide come back home to Sewell Thomas Stadium to take on the LSU Tigers. Coverage starts at 6:25 p.m., all right here on the UMP. Roll Tide!
You can't get any fresher than your own vegetable garden. Right now at the Home Depot, 4.5-inch Bonnie veggies and herbs are not only as fresh as you can get, but you can get four of them for only $12. That's not only thinking green, that's saving green. So pass the salad and stop and smell the rosemary. Get a fresh take on spring with 4.5-inch Bonnie veggies and herbs, four for just $12. Now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through April 30th. U.S. only. Excludes organics. Not valid in Alaska or Hawaii.
This is power. This is freedom. This is tradition. This is being who you were meant to be, where you were meant to be. This is more than a race. This is Talladega. The biggest party in NASCAR returns May 5th through 7th for the Geico 500. Call 877-GO-TO-DEGA for tickets.
Weather is sponsored by Lowe's. Stop into Lowe's Spring Black Friday event for Valspar paint and primer starting at the new lower price of $19.98. Offer valid through 4/26. U.S. only.
Hey, America. We need to have a little talk. We've got more food in our country than we know what to do with. Food at the grocery store and food in the vending machines, fast food, health food, and seafood. We've got so much food that anything people don't buy, we just throw out. Yet 17 million kids in America struggle with hunger. That ain't right. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Yeah, I made that up. It's kind of catchy. Hello, people. This isn't rocket science. We could solve hunger today. To start, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. That's a website. Duh. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
A warm day with a mixture of clouds and sunshine. A few scattered storms are possible this afternoon or this evening. Those storms will likely be strong where they form. The high today, 84. Tonight's low, 62. Tomorrow, some sunshine during the morning. More strong storms by mid to late afternoon. The high at 79. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The UMP.
Call 866-485-9867 to get your bark on. Here he is, the head of the household. The Big Dog, Tom Abraham.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Tom Abraham Show. Tony Mack, your host for the afternoon. Truncated episode will end around 3:55 today for a doubleheader in Bama baseball. And we talked a little Georgia spring ball with Anthony Dasher last segment. We've talked NBA. We have yet to talk anything NHL other than the Preds. And that's mainly because I'm not really experienced in hockey. You know what I mean? I can only break down what I've seen so far because I'm not a hockey expert. I haven't been watching it forever. I've only pretty much been following the Preds. So to help me out, we got one of our favorite guests on the show, Polly and the Cape. Polly, welcome in, buddy. What's going on?
Hey, good afternoon. Unfortunately, a little depressed. That's the sacred and holiest day. There's no trifecta. So I'm going to have to drink some more adult beverages to get over that.
Well, it was all planned, and we had planned on doing it, but weather advisory for Alabama's baseball game tomorrow provoked them to move it to today. So we have two Bama games going on today, and we found out the last hour of the show yesterday. So that we just kind of had to pick it up and run with it, and apparently that handoff
Bama
was to
baseball,
me.
So. Bama baseball trumps the trifecta. God, and we're not even in football season?
Honestly, I'm going to give Tom a little credit. Was not his call to dump the show early, so you can't put that on him, so give him a break. But all right, so help me out.
How about them Predators?
Exactly. I mean,
Predators, where they swept. They got some hockey coming into the mid-state. How about that?
Exactly. The only reason that game was so exciting was because it is the Predators that did it. The 8 seed, yeah. You know, as far as the game, 4-1, it really wasn't ever close once the Predators scored because they controlled most of the game. But there were two other games last night. The Penguins did beat the Blue Jackets and finished that series up. But there were two other games last night that went into overtime. And we had some great.
Yeah, I know. It's been overtimeville all week. It's been like when I got home, I mean, I got off work at 11. I got to see two overtime games back to back, and then the next day or so there was four that night. I was like, "This is awesome!"
Exactly,
but
man.
Here's a trick.
I'm starting to realize
the secret, though,
that playoff hockey is amazing.
Go ahead.
No, I was just talking about how incredible playoff hockey is. I've learned that. You know, and Tom said it over and over again, you know, it doesn't matter what the 1-8 and all this and seeding, but you're really seeing that in these playoffs, and it's incredible.
Well, here's a test for all your listeners down there in the South. Well, actually for me, up there in the South, where I'm at. But ask anybody if they can name the original divisions before they changed it to North, South, East, and West.
Oh, wow.
And the reason why they did that, so they can increase the minority base of hockey fans so they can follow the games. Because some reason, human beings can remember the Patrick division and the other three. But then see if any callers come in and name the other three divisions from back in the day.
Well, you're not going to be able to get that out of me. I'm good to know the original six. So, but
that's right. When Tom, you're going to ask Tom, it's like, yeah, it's good old Patrick division hockey back in the good old days.
That when sounds like something Tom would say. That sounds like something Tom would know.
Yeah, back in the day where you watch two periods of them beating each other up, and then they finally get the guy that's got any stick skills to score the goal in the third period. That's how it used to be. Just carnage, penalties up the kazoo, and then finally someone scores at the end of the game.
Well, Polly,
good old days.
I want you – I thank you for the call, and I want you to do me a favor, man. I want you to have a great weekend, all right, buddy?
You too. Thank you for the call. Thank you, and I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you, sir. Next week, buddy.
Go Dolphins.
Polly in the Cape. It's a good guy, man. So far, both callers, Wolverine Dan, Polly in the Cape, just great guys, man. Now I know why Tom lets him call every week. Great, warming, and welcoming. About to take another quick break. I know the music's about to start, guys. And I know everybody's trying to call in. They want to talk. I'd love to talk to you guys, too. I got an interview coming up at the top of the hour, and the music's about to kick in. I'm not going to be able to get you in. I only got 60 seconds. But thank you guys for calling and showing the love. I do really, really appreciate that. That's going to do it for hour number one of the Tom Abraham Show. If you want to tell me how I'm doing, it would be appreciated. Not really. It really don't matter to me. I got the reins today, and I'm running with it. But if you guys want to show me some love, you can hit me up on Twitter, at TonyMacUMP. Coming up at the top of the three, we got Sean Mraz, CBS, Damon Amendolares, producer. I know how he feels. I'm a producer, too. So we're going to talk a little NFL football schedules coming up. And then after that, we got Josh Ward, SEC Insider. And then we're going to send you guys off to Bama Baseball at 3:55. A little doubleheader action going on. But none of that happens until this break's over. But that's going to be the first hour, and I will see you guys coming up in the next hour, all right here on the Tom Abraham Show, 730-1039. The Ump.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039. The Ump. WUMP. It's now time for Time to Kill with Archie Shea.
Last night, LeBron James did what LeBron James does. He dominates when he has to. 41 points, 13 rebounds, 12 assists, and now he's number three all-time in playoff scoring, number three all-time playoff assist, and number three all-time playoff steals. That man knows how to play some basketball. But I wonder more about the Cavaliers themselves, because they're playing a little cavalier, don't you think? Almost blowing leads in games one and game two. And in game three, once they got down by 26, LeBron James and company said, I guess it's time to play. A miraculous comeback to be able to take the series lead 3-0. So are the Cavs sandbagging everyone in the NBA right now? Or do they actually have legitimate holes? Well, besides LeBron James, because he's awesome.
Don't miss the Sports Flood with Archie Shea, Saturday mornings 9 a.m., only on The Ump.
Stop into Lowe's, where you'll find big savings on those projects popping up on your to-do list. Tackle your turf by bringing home a new John Deere D100 Series riding lawnmower and get a $150 Lowe's gift card via mail-in rebate to use later. And for 5 days only, get your garden off to a tasty start with Bonnie vegetable plants, 4 for $12. All projects have a starting point. Start with Lowe's. John Deere offer valid 4/19 through 5/1. Exclusions apply. Plan offer valid 4/20 through 4/24 while supplies last. Color and selection vary by location. U.S. only. See store for details.
Attention men under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. There goes let's grab dinner and a movie. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, good evening, officer. A woman admires that kind of foresight. And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Because nothing says, I'm a catch, more than a guy who lives in his parents' basement and calls it my place.
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Think fast. In less than 30 seconds, a small flame can become a big fire. Don't let your world go up in smoke. Have working smoke alarms and always stay in the kitchen when cooking at high temperatures. Learn more at usfa.fema.gov, because fire is everyone's fight.
100 years ago, there were 100,000 tigers in the wild. Today, there are as few as 3,200. The Earth's wild animals can't speak up when they need help, but we can. Be the voice for those who have no voice. Visit worldwildlife.org.
Every day, the men and women of the United States Marine Corps stand ready to defend the American way of life. The few, the proud, the Marines.
At St. Jude, our family never sees a bill at all. It's like the world has been lifted off of your shoulders.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Premature birth is the number one killer of babies. Those who survive often face birth defects and complications that affect them for life. For hundreds of thousands of families in the United States, this is the hardest thing they will ever have to face. And it's even harder on the baby. March of Dimes is providing education and support to families and funding life-saving research to give every baby a fighting chance. You can help. Do something today. Give them tomorrow at marchofdimes.org/tomorrow.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to mom, but a little over a year ago, we realized she couldn't take care of herself without our help. And well, how could I not be there for her? I had no idea how hard it would be and just what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and, even for me, ways to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics that got me started, but also information about the hurdles I was facing in this new role. I could even connect with experts and hear from others who had been in my place. I know this road we're on isn't an easy one, but I'm really happy to have the extra help for her and for me. Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. This message is brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
WUMP Madison, W28OBA Madison Huntsville, a Cumulus station. Sports Radio 730 and 103.9. The